This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The biggest tobacco trial in history starts today in Washington, D.C. The federal government is suing the tobacco industry for $280 billion. At issue is whether cigarette makers committed fraud by misleading the public about the dangers of smoking. Prosecutors say the firms conspired to conceal the deadly and addictive nature of cigarettes and created devastating consequences for public health. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports on the largest civil racketeering case ever brought by the Justice Department.
The government sued the major tobacco companies in 1999 under the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, or RICO, a statute normally used against organized crime. Michigan attorney Cliff Douglas was among those calling on the federal government to take on big tobacco.
This federal lawsuit is simply a matter of not letting the cigarette companies off the hook for literally decades of lying and misleading the public and failing to develop safer cigarettes.
The government will present evidence dating back 50 years, when the Surgeon General and other public health leaders started to say that smoking caused cancer. Washington, D.C. Attorney Bill Schultz headed up the Justice Department's tobacco litigation team in the Clinton administration. He says industry documents reveal that tobacco executives conspired to dispute the science and keep their customers smoking.
Beginning in 1953, they met and created various devices and organizations that were designed to really confuse the debate about the hazards of smoking.
Schultz says prosecutors also have evidence that companies manipulated nicotine levels to keep smokers addicted and preyed on youth, understanding that most smokers start when they are 19 or younger.
So the industry, while on the one hand they were saying they're not interested in kids smoking, on the other hand they're designing their advertising, they're designing their campaigns and so on in order to recruit children to smoke.
Schultz says the alleged scheme guaranteed new and addicted customers and a steady revenue stream.
This product is so profitable that this industry has made that kind of money defrauding the American public.
There is no historical or ongoing conspiracy. There was no concerted effort to mislead the world.
Bob McDermott is a lead counsel for R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company.
The public has been aware of the hazard of smoking for decades, and nothing that the defendants did materially influenced smokers' decisions about smoking, nor did it influence government knowledge or policy about smoking. It's just a complete exaggeration.
McDermott called ridiculous the government's claim that tobacco firms made $280 billion in ill-gotten gains. He says a verdict that size would bankrupt the industry, or any other for that matter. The Justice Department case also seeks new restrictions on how cigarette makers operate, including advertising limits and a ban on the use of potentially misleading terms like light and low tar. The companies will argue Congress is the place to address those issues, most of which, they say, were resolved in 1998 when the industry agreed to pay $246 billion to settle a similar round of lawsuits brought by the states. John Wonderly is an attorney with Altria, the parent company of top cigarette maker Philip Morris USA. He says events have overtaken the federal case's usefulness.
The restrictions that the government is asking for have already been put in place as a consequence of the settlement with the states in the 90s when many of these issues came to a head.
Government lawyers will present their opening statements today to U.S. District Judge Gladys Kessler, who is hearing the case. Tobacco attorneys will get their turn tomorrow. And the government's first witness, former Food and Drug Administration Chief David Kessler, is scheduled to testify Thursday about the manipulation of nicotine in cigarettes. Despite settlement talks early on, both sides now say they are intent on battling it out in court. The trial is expected to last 6 months, and appeals have already started. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.